Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Dodge. All right, let's start with your thoughts on South Africa. Look, they have been downgraded to junk status by the S&P. So now, as chief investment officer, you know, as you cast your eye over emerging markets, you know, how much do policy continuity and also political stability, you know, influence your EM investment decisions?
Very much and very high, Han. Particularly with South Africa, their foreign currency debt now is now one level below investment grade by S&P. Fitch rates at one level above sub-investment grade, and Moody's is two levels above. With regard to their local debt, S&P has reduced its rating to the lowest investment grade. Moody's is two levels above, and Fitch is one level above. Now, one step of the foreign currency debt by Moody's wouldn't do much to change South Africa. They would still have two investment level ratings, but a two-notch downgrade by Moody's or a single cut by Fitch would trigger forced selling of foreign currency bonds by investors that track investment grade indexes. There is less danger on the local currency front, so we're really looking at what's going to happen in foreign currency. The bond indexes compiled by Bloomberg Barclays, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Citibank are all tracked by more than $2 trillion of institutional funds, and generally require an investment grade rating from either S&P or two of the three other rating agencies. Should South Africa lose its membership in those indexes, funds that track them would be forced to sell their holdings of the bonds, as well as other funds that are required to hold only investment grade. In addition, some funds and investors will want to reduce their emerging markets debt, as that would be our natural inclination as well if South Africa goes junk completely. So there would be other reductions of the emerging market debt given the increased political risk the sector would experience. Now, of course, South Africa would be newly joined to the junk level and at that point would be relatively high rated. But under conditions that we've seen in the past, Han, South Africa would be one of the prime selling candidates for others not forced to sell South Africa because it might be the only junk debt that has a market. So we're watching this very, very carefully. No, it's not in danger now, but it does affect the perception of junk debt, and it also puts more emphasis on the political danger of change and what's happening. And South Africa is certainly a country to watch.
Now, switching our sights back to the developed markets, we've got the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond President, Jeffrey Lacker, resigning overnight, Malaysian time. And now that's apparently due to his role in a leak of confidential info back in 2012. I mean, how do you think markets will be reacting to this?
Well, it's interesting, Han, because if you take a look at this, it wasn't that he actually divulged any information. It's how he reacted to the news source that asked him about the information. And he should have said, "I cannot reply." He didn't. And so by the absence of that action, he forced himself into his resignation today. Now, yes, he's on the Richmond Fed, and he's been on there since 2004, but he was planning to retire in October. Which is just around the corner. So his resignation was forced, and it was forced, but the real problem here is credibility. And so the Fed's going to have to be very, very careful in this area because it will affect their ability to raise interest rates and the perception of the Fed being an independent policymaker.
So how much do you think Fed credibility will feature this week, noting that we've got Fed minutes due out early Thursday morning Malaysian time? Do you think it will be overshadowed by what happened with Lacker?
I don't think there'll be any indication of it. I think that it's in the Fed's best interest not to make any decisions now and to keep the perception as it is. In other words, the perception that interest rates will rise again in June with perhaps another one or maybe two interest rate rises later on in the year. Any difference from that would indicate that this credibility issue is more than the perception.
And we also know that Lecker is not a voting member of the FOMC. Now, moving on, though, we still have various U.S. economic data due out this week. For example, we've got that March non-farm payrolls. That's due Friday evening, Malaysian time. What are your expectations for the employment scene over there?
Our expectations are 165,000 in non-farm payrolls for March or higher. And from our expectations that any level above 165,000 and below 180,000 will support the market conditions and status quo as it is at that time. We also expect unemployment rate to remain the same at 4.7%. We do not expect to have a number come out that will change the perception of the market.
Now, as we brace and look ahead for all these data points, there appears to be a gap between the hard economic data versus the sentiment on the ground. Now, what do you make of this apparent disconnect there when it comes to these various indicators of the U.S. economy?
Right now, the soft economic, the soft perception, in other words, not the non-economic historical actual data, is ruling the markets, and it will continue to do so until there is a greater understanding about the president's ability to enact legislation and to come through with the promises he made during the campaign. Until that point, the soft economic data and the perception that there is a very positive reaction to the future is going to rule the market and be more important than the hardcore economic data. And we suspect that this will continue for another 6 months.
Now, speaking about whether President Trump has been delivering on his policies, now this week began with him cracking down on the H-1B worker visa program, somewhat controversial there. Now, obviously, that's in a bid to boost the employment of local workers. So how does this stack up against his other campaign promises? Or is this merely one of those low-hanging fruits?
Well, in terms of perception, he has the opportunity to make some progress. With regard to H-1B, there is a broad recognition that reform is needed, as there have been several high-profile examples where American employees have been replaced by lower-paid foreign workers, and it's a fact. Even advocates of the immigrants' rights also argue that H-1B workers are easily exploited because their legal status is tied to one particular employer. And there are more than an estimated 500,000 people working on the H-1B visas now. So this is a good area for him, for Trump to concentrate on now for the short term. The administration's efforts so far and the low-hanging fruit perception you mentioned are being taken seriously by the markets. You look at Cognizant Technology, Infosys, Wipro, Accenture, each slipped more than 1% on Monday. And you had a whole bunch, Microsoft, Facebook, Alphabet, Accenture, they didn't respond to requests for comment. So, in fact, Tata Consulting Services went even further by saying that it has reduced its use of high-skilled H-1B visas while creating more U.S. service jobs. So there is a perception that Trump can make some progress here. And, in fact, when you look at the changes that have been announced so far, they don't explicitly prohibit applications for a specific type of job, but they do bring more scrutiny to the jobs for computer programmers performing at the lower level, the simplest jobs. And so there is a real chance for progress to be made for the benefit of American employees.
How about progress on the front of repealing Obamacare? Because there's also talk of another push to overhaul healthcare legislation in the states, and that vote could even happen this week. I mean, what's the likelihood of another substantial Trump policy win in the very near future?
Substantial, no. Progress, yes. I mean, Pence and two other White House officials did meet late Monday with members of the House Freedom Caucus, and there was some progress. You look at the latest round of changes that appear to be in progress. It looks like more of the Freedom Caucus is going to support Trump, but it may be at the expense of moderate Republicans. So there may not be enough progress. Ryan comes out and he says we're at the concept stage right now. That's good. He even hinted that he felt his party, the Republicans, would make progress but he conceded he didn't know if the House would be able to vote on it before its recess later this week, which is 2 weeks. So at this point, I don't think there'll be significant success, but I think there'll be enough to change the perception of where his ability, where Trump's ability to change Obamacare is longer term.
Hey, good stuff there as always, Dodge. That was Dodge Dorlan, Chief Investment Officer of Lender Infused Capital Managers in New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.